Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A lasting legacy, that's something that we hope to leave behind us when we die. And ultimately we know that a legacy, how people remember us, it doesn't really matter that much, right? Because we're going to be in heaven, we'll be in eternity, in the perfection of God's glory. But leaving a solid, lasting legacy is still a noble goal to aim for. To live out your Christian vocation, to live out the role that God has given you in such a way where you impact other people, where you cause them to remember you fondly. That's a God-pleasing, noble goal to aim for. Maybe you want to leave a legacy of kindness, that everyone remembers how kind you were. Maybe you want to leave a legacy of faithfulness or of service. Everyone thinks of you and thinks, man, they were always serving other people. They were always giving of their time and their talents. Now this evening on Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to go into God's Word and we're going to talk about a man in Scripture who has left a lasting legacy on us to the point where our children still sing about him. But his legacy is a little misunderstood and it's not enviable. The thing that we remember this guy for the most is being a wee little man. That's how we remember Zacchaeus, right? We remember that he's a short guy, which is unfortunate because this historical account from Scripture, this interaction between Zacchaeus and Jesus, is not just a children's story. Here we have this awesome picture of a life of every Christian, of us. We see in Zacchaeus' story a picture of how Jesus came to seek us, how he found us, how he called us by name, how he redeemed us, and how he changed our life of living for ourselves into one that is lived in gratitude and thanksgiving for him. So let's look at our text here for tonight and think about what this life lived in Thanksgiving looks like for us here on Thanksgiving Eve. Our text for tonight is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. I invite you to please rise for the reading of the gospel. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man named Zacchaeus was there. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but since he was short, he could not see because of the crowd. He ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus because he was about to pass by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." He came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. When the people saw it, they were all grumbling because he went to be a guest of a sinful man. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. So first, a little historical background here. Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. That's his destination. And he's walking through this city of Jericho. At this time in his earthly ministry, Jesus is very popular. He's kind of a local celebrity. Everybody knows about him. Everybody wants to see him. And so there are huge crowds that follow him everywhere he goes. When he shows up in his city, everybody wants to see his miracles. Everybody wants to hear him teach and preach. And this city of Jericho was certainly no exception. This included a man named Zacchaeus. He was, as it says, short, a tax collector, and very rich. And on this day, he too wanted to get a glimpse of this man named Jesus. Since he was short, though, as our text says, he didn't want to just be looking at the backs of everybody who's crowded around Jesus, so he climbs up into a tree to see this man. And what's interesting to note here is that obviously Zacchaeus is excited to see Jesus. Obviously he's interested, but it's Jesus who walks directly to Zacchaeus, isn't it? He walks directly to this tree. He looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, you need to come down," and then he invites himself to his house. He says, "I'm staying at your home tonight." And that upsets a lot of people because everybody knows that Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, but a sinful one. He's unscrupulous. He has defrauded a lot of people. So everybody kind of knows him as this scoundrel. And they think, "I would like to have Jesus in my house too. I am much more moral. I'm a much better person. I'm way better than these other people. So why on earth would Jesus choose to spend his night with this tax collector instead? And it's the response of Zacchaeus that I really want us to think about here tonight. Our text says that he came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. And something we need to remember and keep straight is that this thankfulness, this joy that Zacchaeus feels, it's a result of the forgiveness that Jesus brings to the house. Right? Zacchaeus, he had wealth, he had the riches, he had all of his needs taken care of, but this is what he truly needed, forgiveness. Right? And that is the one blessing, the one thing that every single one of us truly needs. And that forgiveness, it doesn't come because of what Zacchaeus says. It doesn't come because he says, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. I'm going to refund everyone four times if I've taken too much from anybody. Instead, it's the opposite. Zacchaeus' actions here are caused by Jesus' forgiveness. So what we have right here in these few short verses, this is a picture of repentance. Right? This is what it looks like. So this man, Zacchaeus, he comes into contact with the Word made flesh. And the Word made flesh, this causes him to look at himself, to examine himself, to see his sin, and to turn away from that sin and towards the one who can solve this problem of his sin, towards Jesus. And that's the definition of repentance. That's what we do each and every day. That's what we do. We turn away from our sin and towards our Savior. And as Zacchaeus does, he sees there Jesus offering full and free forgiveness. And in response to that, Zacchaeus changes. Right, his attitude changes. As he's given this gift of faith, now he no longer lives for himself. He now begins instantly to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. When you hear that children's song, when you read this account, instantly we think of Zacchaeus and his legacy of being a short, sinful tax collector. But that's not true. That's not his identity. That's not who Zacchaeus truly was, and that's not who he is. His identity in Christ was totally different. So through faith in Christ, his identity was changed into a forgiven child of God, an heir of eternal life. Right now, Zacchaeus is a saint. Zacchaeus was lost in his sin, but Jesus found him, just as he found us as sinful people. And just like him, now we too know our Savior. Salvation comes where Jesus goes. And so we can celebrate and give thanks to God tonight because salvation has come here, because Jesus is here. Right? Jesus is exactly where he says he is. You can find him in his word, in his gospel, and you can find him in his sacraments. And he says, it's through these things that I'm going to come and I'm going to give you the greatest blessing you could ever possibly receive. Right? The blessing of faith, the blessing of salvation through faith in him. He says, this is the one thing needful. As I said, Jesus was passing through Jericho. This wasn't his destination. He was walking towards Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? He was going there to die. And Jesus knows this. He knows that he's marching towards the cross. He's marching towards the fulfillment of the mission for which he had come. He's marching into Jerusalem to take the sins of Zacchaeus, to take the sins of you and I, and to pay for them with his blood on the cross. He knows that it's through that sacrifice that he can do what he's offering. He can bring salvation. He can offer forgiveness and actually deliver it. It's all through his life and through his innocent death on the cross. On this Thanksgiving Day, remember that this is the source. This is the reason for our thankfulness. It all flows from this, right? The love of God that is poured out on you through Jesus Christ. Because without this one blessing, none of the other blessings would matter at all. Because you can have the nice car, you can have the beautiful home, you can have the fancy job with the good title, you can have everything that your heart desires. But if you are still in your sin, none of it matters. Because all of those things, we know deep down that all of those things are fading away, that they do not last, that we cannot take them with us, and they do not have any impact on our eternal future. But with the love of God, with his grace and with his forgiveness through his son Jesus, any earthly hardship that we face, any trial, any difficulty, even in this life, if you truly have nothing to your name, if you possess nothing, but you have this forgiveness, you have this gift, then you have everything that you need. Now, I know Thanksgiving is a holiday where we focus on all of the great things that we've been given, all the awesome blessings that God has poured out on us. But I know that it's also true that for every single person in this sanctuary tonight, that this last year of your life has not been filled only with blessing. Right? I know in the last year that there have been hard things that you've had to deal with. There have been big changes, big transitions, that there have been heartbreak and tragedy and sadness in your life and in your families. Maybe some of those hardships were financial, right? And maybe as stuff gets more and more expensive every single month, it becomes harder and harder to make ends meet. Maybe those difficulties are because of a relationship in your life. Or maybe, I know for some of you, you've had to mourn the loss of someone that you deeply, deeply loved. This story from Scripture, this historical account, is that the comfort is not just in the fact that we are saved, but in the fact that we are known by our Savior. The truth is, for Christians in this life, it's not always easy, and we know that because we live in a fallen world, and even Jesus comes to us and he promises us that in this world you will have trouble. But this same Savior who walks straight up to a man that he never met and calls him by name, this same Savior who says, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I know who you are, I know what troubles you, I know what's in your heart, and I know how to solve these problems, I know how to give you what you need." That same Savior comes to you, and he knows your difficulties, he knows your struggles, the sadnesses that you face, he knows the things that keep you up at night, the things that you worry about, the things that weigh heavily on your heart and on your mind. What's so awesome about our God is that he's not a God who's far off, who says, "I understand your problems. I understand that you're having a difficult time." We have a God who has come down to be also our brother, right? A God who has taken on human flesh so that he doesn't just say he understands, but we know that he gets it. He gets it because he experienced these same things that we struggle with, right? Jesus, throughout his earthly life, he knows what it means to be lonely in this world. Right, he knows what it means to feel rejection and heartbreak. He knows what it is to mourn the death of a dear friend. He knows righteous anger over people who have rejected him and sinned against him. And he says, "You too, I know what you struggle with." And then he comes to you personally in his word and his sacrament to bring you the comfort that you need. And it's not just a blanket comfort that's the same for all people, but he comes to you specifically to give you the comfort that you personally and specifically need, individually for you. He comes to you to point you away from trying to do it on your own, to point you away from yourself, to remind you that you are not strong enough to handle it all, to remind you that you can't do it all, that you're not strong enough. He comes to you to point you away from trying to find comfort in the things of this world, and he comes to point you to himself, to remind you that he is the source of our joy, he is the source of our comfort, he is the source of our confidence. And when we know that we have Jesus on our side, when we know we have that forgiveness and that salvation, then that joy that comes from that can exist even in these times of sadness and hardship and trial. And that is why we as God's people are thankful. Right? Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every single day of our lives of faith. And yes, we are thankful for the multitude of earthly blessings that he's given us. There is no doubt about the fact that he has poured out blessing after blessing on us, that we look at our lives and we can't even count how many good things come from our God. But especially, we give thanks for the gift that he's given that cannot be taken away, the treasure that has been stored up for us in heaven, a right relationship with our God, a gift that cannot be taken away, a gift that we can't use up, a gift that cannot be stolen from us. And that thanksgiving, it changes us, right? It changes how we view our life. It changes how we live, because we no longer live for ourselves. We live for our Lord in view of his grace, in view of his mercy. And it's one thing tomorrow to go around the table to do everyone's favorite thing and to say, everyone say what you're most thankful for, right? Give a few things that you appreciate. But it's another thing to live the life of a Christian, to do here what Zacchaeus does, and to show your thanksgiving, to live it. All right, so Zacchaeus here, he is moved, he's motivated by the love of his Savior. And he shows that his thanksgiving is one of not just words, but also of actions. All right, and we know that God is the power source of all of this, that he is the one who plants the faith. He is the one who starts this process of making us more and more holy, who enables us to do good works in his sight. And so Zacchaeus, he hears about this salvation. He receives this forgiveness, this gift of faith, and he now knows that he is the greatest gift anyone could ever receive. And so now his earthly wealth means so much less to him. He doesn't need to rely on his money to provide for him. He doesn't need to rely on his money for comfort, for pleasure. He has his God, right? He has a Savior who knows him, who loves him, who has redeemed him. And he has the promise of his God to provide for everything that he needs, no matter how much or how little money he has. Again, remember that the story of Zacchaeus is the story of each one of us. So as people who also were lost in our sin, but who were found by our Savior, who have been given the same gift of faith, right? This is our story. We too know that God has given us the one single thing in life that lasts, the greatest gift that changes our perspective on everything. And by his promise, we know that whether we have little in this life or whether we have much, that he will always provide what we need. So now we, in light of his love, in light of his grace, we can't help but live lives of thanksgiving, lives of appreciation, because we know that we have been loved by our God in an infinite way. We know that we have received unending forgiveness. We know that Jesus has died for us. And so we say, Lord, let me live in thanksgiving for you. Let me offer my entire life as a living sacrifice out of thanksgiving and appreciation for what you have done for me. When you think about Zacchaeus, remember that the song is not inaccurate, right? He was indeed a wee little man. He was a short guy. But after studying this text, I hope you remember a few more things about Zacchaeus. I hope you remember that in him and in his story, in this account, his interaction with Jesus, we see a picture of ourselves. We see a little bit of us in him. We see how our story plays out too, how the unstoppable love of Jesus sought you out and found you and created faith in your heart and now has given you this eternal confidence, this eternal peace through that faith. Just like Zacchaeus, that is your identity, right? That is who you are. Everything else takes second place to the fact that you are a redeemed child of God, an heir of eternal life, and a saint in God's sight. Now, motivated out of love and thanksgiving, you know that you live your life for him. That story, that is our story. And it ends in exactly the same way. Never-ending life in the perfection of heaven. Now for that and for the multitude of other blessings that he daily and richly provides, we cannot help but give thanks. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 63, and I invite you to please remain standing as we sing this hymn together.